One of the joys of an application Bible is you get to read some interpretation. When someone claims to have faith, what he or she may have is an intellectual assent, agreement with a set of Christian teachings. And as such, it would be incomplete faith. True faith transforms our conduct as well as our thoughts. If our life remains unchanged, we don't truly believe the truths we claim to believe. We cannot earn our salvation by serving and obeying God, but such actions show that our commitment to God is real. Deeds of loving service are not a substitute for, but rather a verification of, our faith in Christ. At first glance, this verse seems to contradict Romans 3:28, which says, "We are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law." Deeper investigation, however, shows that the teachings of James and Paul are not at odds. While it is true that our good deeds can never earn salvation, true faith always results in a changed life and good deeds. Paul speaks against those who try to be saved by deeds instead of true faith. James speaks against those who confuse mere intellectual assent with true faith. After all, even demons know who Jesus is, but they don't obey him. True faith involves a commitment of your whole self to our God. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I first of all wanted to say thank you to this congregation. And if you came in through the foyer, you saw the narthex, you saw the Anchor Point sign out there, and hope you'll, when you leave, just browse it. This church heavily supports Anchor Point and its ministry of counseling, tutoring, and parent education throughout the North Hills. We are in our 48th year, and it has been quite a ride. I've been on for the ride for 27 years as the executive director, and this church has certainly been an outstanding supporter of Anchor Point, and it's a blessing to know faces and people supporting Anchor Point. Many people in this congregation support it privately as well. We average about 160 families that we counsel a month, and we average about 60 kids that we tutor a week, and we do parent education probably for close to 1,500 people throughout the year. Anchor Point is a Christian ministry integrating faith and counseling. Dick Bruckman, who I don't think is here today, he has been our treasurer for 48 years, and he has been an amazing person for us. Brian Gongwer is on our board. Many people have served from this congregation on our board, and it is indeed a blessing to be supported by you all. So thank you. I wanted to, as you can see in your bulletin, the name of the sermon is "What Would Love Do?" This song originated, the title originated by a song that my wife Sherry heard Scott Stapp do, and we'll be listening that at the end of the sermon, "What Would Love Do?" So I wanted to start off by talking about this guy I knew who came home one night, and he was ready to settle down and just enjoy a few hours with his lovely wife, relax, watch a little TV, you know, get comfortable after a day of work. And the first thing he did when he came into the TV room was looked at what was on TV and said, "What useless TV program is this?" Well, that didn't go over too well with the wife. She said, "Why are you so critical of me? You've been so critical of me lately. You can watch your own TV show here, and I will leave the room and watch my preferable show somewhere else." Well, this very defensive man thought for a minute and got together his defenses and the fact that he certainly was not critical. He was just expressing an opinion. It's a free country. You're allowed to express opinions, aren't you? Especially with a spouse. And then he thought for a moment, and he had been working on a sermon called What Would Love Do for about the last several weeks. Very good. And he thought and thought and said, now I better listen to what she said. And my normal routine is to go chase my wife and argue, get my points in, and then run away. But this time, I thought for a minute and said, no, she has a good point. And she did have a good point because I was being critical. And I thought for a minute about why I was being critical. The reason I was being critical is because I had wanted more of her attention. And instead of saying I needed more of her attention, I became critical. I don't know if this could possibly ever happen to anybody out in this audience, but it happens here and there. And these are how our house fights start. And these fights can be short-lived, or they can last, in my counseling experience and personal experience, they can last from anywhere to an hour. The highest I've ever heard is 2 weeks in my counseling. That's not me. So these are things that create a lot of hurt. And in my work at Anchor Point Counseling, I experience a lot of hurt with people. That's why they come. Although some people bring their teenager and told them they were going to the mall, and they stop at our office. But a lot of people come because they're hurting. And they hurt one another by ignoring, by criticizing, by abandoning, by controlling, by yelling and screaming. And oftentimes, unfortunately, in our office, we get calls about affairs and dealing with that issue. I experience teens and parents hurting one another through kids experimenting with drugs and alcohol, through belligerent fighting, through self-harm, through ignoring the rules of parents, just doing their own thing. I see parents also placing unrealistic demands on their children, not taking time to be present with their children. And I've experienced parents abusing their children emotionally, physically, and sexually. At Anchor Point, we experience youth and adult friendships and teen and adult dating that have ended up being very emotionally abusive as well and creating emotional scars that can last for a long time. Unfortunately, date rape is part of that. You may wonder what the scripture I read today has to do with people hurting each other. What does it have to do with the importance of integrating faith and works in our lives as Christians? Well, just as the scripture points out, where are your works if you do not give a brother or sister clothing or food when they are clearly in need of them? What about the need to be a loving person and have a loving presence as an essential quality of being a Christian? What about love as works? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Being a loving presence is the mark of a Christian. The two greatest commandments in the Bible that we know are love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is clearly a verb, an action word. And God's commands are that we must love. These are very difficult commandments for us to integrate into our everyday life. I think this is why some people just either don't buy into Christianity or quit Christianity, because it's very hard and very demanding. But it's very full of joyfulness and very full of meaning and challenge. Now, these commandments are not as hard if you only hang out with people you prefer. But that is not reality for most of us. Most of us have to work. We engage with people publicly. We have family get-togethers and we have reunions. We are members of sports teams, bands, clubs, social clubs, and we attend church together. God calls us to love. Sometimes the hardest people to love, though, are those closest to us, because they make us face ourselves and things we may not want to see in ourselves. Sometimes we hurt the ones we are closest to, and then the relationship perhaps grows distant in order to feel safe. Our loved ones may pull back, or we may pull back out of fear of being hurt or belittled or criticized or ignored. So we move to safety, lonely type of safety. Relationships and people are indeed fragile. We need love as much as we need food and clothing and shelter. Without love, we wilt, we fade, and we can become depressed and lonely. Or we might move into a robotic way of life that minimizes emotion and focuses on activity and productivity and other interests because we have experienced too much hurt and we rationalize that it is just too risky to love. So again, why am I regarding reading scripture about faith and works? I'm reflecting on this particular scripture because it has been a life-changing scripture for me. The minister of our church in my youth was very theological in his sermons and promoted the importance of sharing the gospel with all who we encountered when possible, such as riding a bus, an airplane, a taxi. He was obsessed with witnessing. I grew up being obsessed with witnessing verbally. I later on became obsessed with the social gospel of deeds, and I've learned that the importance of balance is very needed in the Christian life. I became a Christian at 16 and started talking to classmates and getting into conversations about Christianity. But the real change started happening when I was asked to lead a Bible study with kids at a home for delinquent youth. This was way out of my comfort zone. And I was intimidated, but having been somewhat of a delinquent myself, I said, sure. And I do not know if I helped any of these early teenage boys by helping out with the Bible study. I hope I did. But it certainly helped me see them in a very different light. You see, 4 years earlier, our junior high basketball team would play against this school called Bonnie Bray. And they would try and intimidate us by being very physical and supposedly would put fear in us. Well, I always was ready to get into a fight anyway at that age, and I always liked playing rough, so I sort of just considered it a battle, and that they were just kind of mean kids, and we would stand up to them. But doing a Bible study with them helped me see them from a different perspective, a caring perspective. Yes, I was out of my comfort zone, but it was okay. I could feel in me a caring that I liked, even when they were wise guy teens during the Bible study itself. You see, I was experiencing the works side of faith, probably for the first time, and it enlivened me. It always does, it always has. But my works this time was about caring, not just bringing them clothing or food, as important as that is, like we do here for North Hills Community Outreach in Rankin and on the north side. Those are very important ministries. So this James scripture became very important to me as a growing Christian and always has been central scripture to me. According to the interpreter's commentary on this, we read, in Pauline theology, faith is no mere intellectual acceptance of monotheism that even demons believe. Faith is a self-surrender of the whole individual to God. which would mean it could not possibly be dead or barren of fruit, that is, our good works. Belief in the initial act in the spiritual life of the Christian, whereby God accepts the believing soul, then pardons it, and then starts it on its way. That is what belief is. That way is the learning of the process of living a loving life, being a loving presence, having an integrated faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ challenges each of us. It is supposed to challenge us. It challenges us to love every day. So what is easier, to love or to hate? What is easier, to love or to be apathetic? What is harder? I think we know what is harder. I know what is harder, and I have experience being with hundreds of people in my counseling office and thousands of people at our offices over the last 27 years. And I've seen hurt in so many eyes and so many hearts and on their faces. If we have faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then our works have to be obeying God's commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor and to love ourselves. So here's the kicker of the sermon. If you think this sermon has been a light touch and you wish I had delved into something much deeper to chew on, I apologize. When I began to write this sermon, I felt some of the same thoughts. People know this stuff. They know that it's important to love. They know it's important to do good deeds. This is no new news. But then I thought, well, when I asked my mom when I was 10, why do we have to go to church every week? I know what they're talking about. She said, so they remember. So we remember. And I think, based on my life experience and what I do for a living, boy, a lot of people forget. They forget every day. We get in so many little squabbles that are so unnecessary. I sit with people that squabble constantly. And after I get to know them a while, I just say, what are you squabbling about? And it's like, don't you see the bigger picture here? Well, I think I've learned a lot about the bigger picture over time. So I think it's incredibly challenging to love. There has been many experiences in the last several months of my life that have focused on the essential need to be a loving presence that I needed to preach about. I didn't get here for Wayne's funeral. I was golfing. I asked Wayne if that was okay, because we knew he was close to the end, and he was a fellow lover of golf, and he said, yeah, go, enjoy. And I did. But during my last several visits with Wayne, he could visit for about 20 minutes at a time, and then he would tire out. He repeatedly told me that it's all about the loving, Ron. It's all about the loving. And I remember those words, and they are sort of the things I've attached to Wayne now. And those were no easy words. Wayne and I have met for breakfast many, many times over the last 10 years. And those words are a culmination of a growing faith. Because there are just hard times and hard people to love. We know that. But that's the challenge of the Christian faith. That's the stuff we need to remember. That's why it's so great. Because like if a league of their own, it wouldn't be baseball. It wouldn't be great if it wasn't hard. I know that at times it takes everything in me to love certain people. And maybe it takes everything in you to love me, if you know me. However, I know that to be a loving presence is where personal and spiritual growth comes from. I believe that is why God's commands to love us are at the core of Christianity. for us to be a loving presence, because it's how we grow. We will never be bored with Christianity if we continue to practice being a loving presence, because we have to use every part of our brain and our heart to love certain people. Other people are easy. And then the people you really love, when their words mean so much to you, that can be very difficult too. But I guarantee you, as we've struggled to love, we will grow. And it will be central to our healing process, to our salvation. Now I want to close playing this song by Scott Stapp, who used to be the voice of Creed. Amazing voice. Scott Stapp is a minister's kid, went through a lot of rebellion. And the song is, oh, guess what? What would love do? The words are in your bulletin, and I just would like you to listen closely. Amen.